Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host today, Rhonda Brandt, sitting in for Vicki Winterton. And I am so excited today. We have the divine dog trainer, Karen Garvin. Welcome, Karen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic. I want to tell our listeners a little information about you. You know, and they say that all dog trainers teach through stories. Karen's stories just happen to be based on her belief in the divine, that power which is greater than ourselves. The integrated approach to dog training includes spirituality, psychology, etiology, science, and the natural order of life as we know it. And this is just so exciting to hear about. Karen, how did you come to your passion and purpose in life to get where you are today?
Well, I can think of a few different benchmarks, but probably the most empowering event for me was really the experience of my first dog. And she was a female German Shepherd, and it was really because of her that I ended up being a dog trainer. I hated leaving her at home. I started looking for jobs where I could take my dog. I could think of so many things that led me into a career of dog training. I really feel that this was my destiny. And I was sort of, I think all of us are probably being shaped through the whole course of our lives for where we end up. But that dog made a huge impact on me.
Wow, what a blessing. And I was reading that you've done over 40,000 private lessons where you've taught dog owners how to train their dogs.
This is true. And that is a conservative number.
Wow, that is so impressive. And I know that as a young child that you moved to India. And how did that shape you to the career that you have now?
My experience of growing up in India led me to be a very passionate human being. I remember the day where I was standing in a street. I don't remember what had happened, but it was bad. And it was just, I just had it. And I remember looking up at the sky. I felt so helpless. I mean, there was death, starvation, disease all around on the streets of Bombay. And I remember looking up at the sky one day saying, you know what, God, when I grow up, I want to make a difference. I felt helpless. There was nothing I could do at that point, but I knew that I wanted to make a difference. And as an adult, it just happened that my life led me to the career of being a dog trainer. So as a dog trainer, I have that same passion. I am very committed to making a difference for dogs.
That is wonderful. So Karen, in my research on you, I'm so impressed to find out that you created the first professionally retailed diaper for male dogs. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, and again, I have to thank the heavens above for that idea. I was at the home of a couple who had a 13-year-old male poodle that had marked in the house his entire life, meaning he had urinated in the house just on the entertainment center whenever they were gone. Typically, and we're talking, I believe, the 80s, 90s, typically what we would do for a male dog that marked in the house during an owner's absence would be to crate them or to put them in an area where they didn't have the opportunity to do that. At this particular home, those solutions wouldn't work because this little male poodle had a level of claustrophobia where if you put him in a crate, he just totally panicked. If she put him in a hallway with a baby gate, he would jump it. If she tried to shut him up in a room, he would scratch at the door feverishly and destroy the baseboard. Owner decided she loved this little dog, and she just got used to it. You know, if he peed on the entertainment center, big deal. When she got home, she could wipe it up. But then she got remarried, and the new husband said, "I can't live like this. We're calling a dog trainer." Driving out there, I'm thinking, really, 13-year-old male poodle peed in the house his whole life, and now you're calling? But it all made sense when I understood that this was a new husband. But I sat there at the kitchen table that evening, and I remember looking up at the ceiling and saying, you know what, God, what am I supposed to tell these people? And it was in that moment that it was like, ding! And I asked, I said, do you have an ACE bandage? Because I knew we had to diaper this little dog. And we took an ACE bandage because that's all that was available. And we put a paper towel in there. And sure enough, that little guy peed on himself 3 times. And that was it. So in other words, he didn't mind peeing in the house. He didn't mind peeing on the entertainment center. But he sure wasn't going to be happy peeing on himself. And it didn't take long. I mean, within a month, she didn't even have to use the diaper anymore, and he was cured. I realized what a powerful tool that was. So I went on to create the first male diaper for dogs that mark, and I wrote a little book. Actually, it was probably my very first little book, a manual about everything you need to think of in addition to using the diaper, you know, deodorizing and stuff. So that's how that happened. But, you know, and again, I have to thank the universe. Really, that idea popped into my head at that moment.
Wow, the universe has really been great to you. And then you started some obedience classes for pot-bellied pigs. What is that about?
Well, again, when they were all the rage and that happened here in Tucson, Arizona, and I thought I wanted a pig because pot-bellied pigs haven't been in the United States that long. So, of course, I wanted one, and I got my first pig, and, of course, I trained her. And then everybody else was getting pigs, and it wasn't long before the word went around that I would be the person to ask for help with training. And there were so many people purchasing pigs at that time that, yes, we had a class. And it drew national attention, and we had the world's first pot-bellied pig obedience class and graduation.
That is just amazing, wonderful. And so in 1998, you expanded your business to a couple of other innovative training ideas. Can you tell us about those?
I believe you're referring to in 1998, I assumed the dealership for the Invisible Fence brand here in Tucson, Arizona. And again, when people need help managing their dogs, a lot of dog training equipment is the solution. Just like the diaper was the solution for a male dog that urinated, the Invisible Fence brand solution, keeping pets in and out of areas, is a wonderful tool. The hardware itself is just part of the solution. Training is another huge part of it, right? I could have the best equipment in the world, but if I don't train my dog correctly, it may not work. When I joined the Invisible Fence brand, I found a lot of opportunities there to improve the way the training was actually being done. I got very involved in sharing what I've learned and kind of a new approach to training dogs to invisible fence with people in the corporation, and they adopted a new method of training that they now call the Perfect Start method of training. So it was wonderfully rewarding to be able to make a difference there too. The other thing that happened when I began with the Invisible Fence dealership was, you know, people whose dogs are jumping the fence, who are they contacting? They're contacting places like pet containment businesses. So we were the only pet containment business in the Tucson area. And suddenly, I was really amazed at how many dogs there are that are jumping fences and trying to escape homes. And so that's when I coined the term containment phobia. I understood the behavior from working with a number of wolf hybrids, and that was in the late 70s, early 80s. I understood that in the heart of a wolf, they panic about being shut up. For a wolf, being shut up is life-threatening. You could never put a wolf in a crate. And what I noticed, but I didn't realize, you know, all dogs are descended from the wolf. In this country, when wolves and wolf hybrids were a fad, to this day, we still have more wolf hybrids in the United States than any other country. But all dogs being descended from the wolf, occasionally we end up with dogs who feel just that way. I mean, it's in their genes. They panic about being shut up. And even though the yard may be spacious and big, if they can't get in the house and they feel trapped, they need to jump that wall or dig out or go through somehow. And oftentimes they didn't want to run away. They just went and sat on the front porch, which was another indication that this is not a dog that wanted to run away. This is just a dog that panics about being shut up. So I coined the term containment phobia because, again, even with dealing with the Invisible Fence brand, if that's what's going on with the dog, just putting up a pet containment system really wasn't enough. A dog like that needed a dog door, could have access to get in the house as well as outside when they felt the need to be able to move from one environment to another and not feel trapped.
Very innovative. So, Karen, when did you start writing?
My first book, other than the little manual about the male dog and marking, my first real book, the title of it is Dogs Do Go to Heaven, and that book was self-published in 2010.
And on Dogs Go to Heaven, how did you come up with that title?
Dogs Do Go to Heaven was the story I had to tell. And again, that is the story about my first German Shepherd, the dog that made me a dog trainer. Her name was Erica. A blessing, the day that she passed, the day that she died, she was able to communicate to me that there is a life hereafter. And that day, I'm sure, even to this day, was a day of my greatest loss, but being given that insight was also my greatest gift. And I had to tell the story. So the book, Dogs Do Go to Heaven, is about a very concise story about my life with Erica, becoming a dog trainer, about the day she passed, and how she was able to communicate to that to me. Actually, there was one other miracle that happened that day. When I was on my knees, crying, and you know, at that point in my life, I wasn't even really sure there was a God. But I was on my knees, and I was again looking up and saying, you know what, God, if you do exist, I need your help now. The only day I heard a voice, the voice said, she will be replaced with something much greater. Now, Rhonda, that was not my voice. I was asking for help. I didn't want to hear that she was going to be replaced with something much greater. But those words, that voice, it was undeniable. And after she passed, I was like, what could be greater? So the second half of the book is explaining what the universe meant by greater.
And the universe did call out. That is just amazing.
You know, so my me being such a spiritual human being, it's not because I went to church. It's not because of something I was taught at church or religion. It was just really, I'm very fortunate that I trust my intuition, that I've reached out and I've prayed when I needed to, and I've gotten answers. And I am obligated to share. So even the title, The Divine Dog Trainer, it's really talking about how the dog is divine. And the dog is undeniably probably God's greatest example of unconditional love that we can experience on this planet. In my most recent book, I dedicated the book to the dog. And I said, this book is dedicated to the dog. The dog is God's way of showing unconditional love in a form we won't reject.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is so beautiful. Karen, what do you hope readers will take away from your book?
My most recent book, Separation Anxiety versus Containment Phobia, Why is Your Dog Destructive When You're Gone? It's really set out to bust two myths. Myth number one, separation anxiety has become a catch-all phrase. It's used by a lot of pet professionals, meaning well, but the catch-all phrase, as soon as someone says, oh, my dog is destructive when I'm gone, well-meaning people and well-meaning professionals immediately throw it out to say, oh, well, that's separation anxiety. The problem, Rhonda, is that if a behavior is misdiagnosed, there is no cure. So this book was set out to explain at least 20 different reasons why dogs are destructive when people are gone. So that was the first myth that I wanted to bust, was that all destructive behavior is because of separation anxiety. It's not true. The second myth that needs to be busted is that crates are a wonderful solution, or crate training is a wonderful solution for all dogs. That is not true. And it can really be life-threatening. There are many, many dogs that have died trying to escape the crate. So I guess ultimately what I hope to accomplish is saving dogs' lives. We still have millions of dogs that are killed each year. They end up at shelters because of behavior issues that the owner doesn't know how to deal with. Destructive behavior would be high on the list. So hopefully this book will have an impact on saving dogs' lives.
And that is so important. Thank you for all that you're doing, Karen Garvin. And how can our listeners out there connect with you? Because I know I want all of our listeners out there to know that Karen Garvin, at present, and her passion is centered around sharing what she has learned over her long career by means of books, webinars, and speaking engagements to usher in the integrated approach as a method of training to the dog training industry. She is an advocate for dogs and for all animals. Karen currently lives in Tucson, Arizona. So, Karen, tell our listeners today how they can connect with you.
Two ways. One, they could go to my dog training website, which is Garvin's Divine Dog Training.com. And, of course, they could always look me up at KarenGarvin.com.
Can they order your books off of your website also?
Right. If they wanted, they could go to DogTrainingOnAmazon.com, and they would see all of my books.
Great. And can you tell us the name of all the books that you've authored again?
The first book, Dogs Do Go to Heaven. The second book, How to Walk Your Dog on a Loose Leash, and my most recent book, Separation Anxiety versus Containment Phobia. Why is your dog destructive when you're gone?
I'm telling you, listeners, her newest book, I think everyone can relate to that, Karen. Everybody can relate to that, from persons who are not even dog lovers who have to visit family. You know, that's a book they can buy them to help them with the separation anxiety. That's a great birthday gift, a great Christmas gift. It is a must. Everybody run out and get that book, not only for yourself, but for family and friends. And especially, that is a good hint to let your friends know your dog needs some help with separation anxiety. Karen,
or containment phobia.
Yeah, or containment phobia. You're absolutely right. Karen, thank you so much for joining us today. And if anyone out there would like to discover more about Expert Insights Publishing and our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global communities and broadcasts, go to GETEI.com. Have a wonderful week.